The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Thursday edition, clearing the deck, Dom, for the DNC next week. No live show tomorrow, but one of the finest best ofs ever. You'll tune in.
Ever.
But I find myself watching the former president live at a air quotes press conference in Bedminster, New Jersey, at a golf course with the peanut gallery of raving fans. I don't see him actually answering any questions, more just a rambling speech.
It's apparently a very long opening statement, and this was labeled as a press conference, and to my understanding, he has not taken one single question yet.
Well, he didn't even have a teleprompter today, more of a binder. He showed up with a binder, a speech in a binder, and of course he can't stand script. So he's talking about everything from failed policies of Obama and George W. Bush. I mean, is this the campaign's effort to make this man more disciplined? Because he's fighting against demons you ain't even running against, dude. You know what I mean? When you're talking about presidents from 24 years ago, you're sort of off track. And he certainly
loves
isn't.
The 80s, though, man. That was his heyday.
Some of the things he has said in the last few minutes, called Kamala Harris a communist. That's a new line attack, but you saw it coming. He's been working up socialist, Marxist. Now she's a full-blown communist.
Of course she is.
And something interesting that Trump would attribute to Kamala Harris. She will lead to the death of the American dream. And of course we know you already killed the American dream. You made
that. He declared it.
Twice.
He said it. He made it so obvious. I mean, we were there. We heard it come out of his mouth. The American dream is dead.
He said it during his nomination acceptance speech in Cleveland. Hell, he said it at the inauguration. We were in the room. Well, open air in the second case, but we were there both times. You said it. Publicly, this was your campaign, and then it was your glorious victory speech. The American dream is dead.
So how, then, if the American dream is dead, it was dead or at least killed by or dead by the time, you know, Trump got there, did he revive the American dream, and now she's going to kill it? I guess I'm not clear how you can kill something dead twice. Because the dead, as far as I know, the dead don't die.
Have you seen Game of Thrones or Pet Sematary? Because I know
the ground up there, the ground sour, the ground turns sour.
Dominic, so we'll set aside the Trump. We're not going to play the Trump for you. But you know who is campaigning today out there with Kamala Harris? President Joe Biden. And he's having a little fun. He's being a little mischievous on the stump. We're going to save some of the Joe Biden sound for the next hour, Dom. But we've been trying to work in a conversation about the polling and the fact that Donald Trump cannot even do what his own campaign is begging him to do, which is just read the script in front of you.
Yeah, but Donald Trump cannot help being Donald Trump, man. And no one's going to make him.
Well, now that he is aware he's got a peanut gallery, you know, now he's got the crowd hooting and hollering at him. A, it sort of undermines this whole false press conference, because of course press conference implies you're actually going to answer some questions. He's not doing that. but it also would
at least take the question. You know what I mean? Guy's going to say what he's going to say, but at least take a question.
Do you think the crowd will start booing if they don't? Oh, very nasty question. Boo.
Very nasty news. You're terrible. You're horrible. Terrible, nasty, nasty.
As most politicians do, he brought his own cheering section to the press conference.
To the press conference.
Frank Luntz, we've seen this guy. If you ever turned on Fox News, he's a frequent flyer there. Trump is committing political suicide as Harris seizes the intensity advantage. Now, he continues to go out there and try to express that Donald Trump is burning it down, and he should not. I mean, Luntz is a Republican pollster. He's rooting for the guy in some way, shape, or form. Here is what The Hill is reporting. Longtime GOP pollster Frank Luntz said in a Wednesday interview that he is seeing a broad shift in the 2024 polls towards Vice President Harris as she rides her intensity advantage, and as former President Donald Trump increasingly commits, as he describes it, political suicide. Oh yeah, keep it going. Keep her burning. Burn, baby, burn. He's starting his own fire. Now, Luntz said Harris's recent enthusiasm boost has tapped into part of the electorate that might not have otherwise voted in November had President Biden remained the party's nominee. I have no doubt she's energized not just the base, but new supporters. And he, Luntz, predicted that could have a down-ballot effect, speaking in an interview to CNBC Squawk Box. Here are a couple of the quotes, and we do have some sound. We'll play it in just a moment, but a couple of the interesting observations of pollster Luntz. She's bringing out people who are not interested in voting for either Trump or Biden. So the entire electoral pool has changed. And if it continues in this direction, you have to start considering Democrats winning the Senate and Democrats winning the House. Yeah, I can smell a blue wave. The actual people who are participating, she's got intensity now. She's got an intensity advantage. She's got a demographic advantage. And I haven't seen anything like this happen in 30 days in my lifetime. Asked how significant the margin of extra Harris voters might be to the overall electoral pool, Luntz said 1%, maybe 2%. That's it. But that's enough. Right? We've got margins of like 21,000 votes in the state of Wisconsin that... Mm-hmm. Separated Trump over Hillary Clinton and then Biden over Trump. That is a minuscule percentage relative to the over 3 million votes cast in the state of Wisconsin each presidential year. Now, Luntz suggested that there are three components, attributes, issues, and conditions of the country that build a candidate's support, adding, you shift the demographics and you shift the entire outcome. The issues and conditions, according to Luntz, favor Donald Trump. He should be winning this election, but the attributes are so much in Harris's favor that he's not. And I'm trying.
And I'm not clear. And I get Luntz. And remember, Luntz was what rooming with Kevin McCarthy back in 21, right? So consider the source. The Republican pollster says the issues and conditions favor Donald Trump. But we talked about California. Oh, I mean Wisconsin senatorial candidate Hovde. You know, talking about the economy and inflation, as mentioned, is going down. GDP has been solid. Look at the market. I mean, if you're in it, look at the market. Certainly there are some spots, but I would challenge Luntz's assertion.
Well, here's another interesting assertion he makes. I'm trying to do a focus group tonight with undecided voters under the age of 27 for a major news outlet. That's Fox. And I can't recruit young women to this, because they don't exist as undecided voters.
Yeah, where are young women going? I mean.
A little bit more. Luntz described a broad shift in voters towards Harris, driven by the appeal of her attributes, particularly among disillusioned young adults and women. The people who are undecided have all collapsed towards Harris. The people who are weak Trump have all collapsed towards undecided. It's this broad shift, Luntz said. We've got some sound of Luntz. And Luntz has been trying to steer his guy. I mean, he's really in the Trump team. He would like Trump to perform. But he's not performing. And I want to correct you slightly. Frank Luntz lives in a replica White House. Kevin McCarthy was his housemate. Kevin stayed over at his house.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought this is what I said, but yes, he was rooming with Kevin at his place with his weird Oval Office build out. I mean, come on. I know sometimes I put it as a backdrop at the green screen, you know, but it's not like I'm actually building out an Oval Office at my crib, dude.
Wow. Well, I would put him in the childless cat lady category, Dom. He should be a Harris supporter, but I think he's more of a Team Trump guy, I mean, Frank Luntz.
Given his age of being postmenopausal, I mean, he should be giving up his job as a pollster and just taking care of the grandkids.
Rich, while there's time, before Hot Flash hits, let's play some of the promised sound of Frank Luntz. Let's get it started. Play it.
She's bringing out people who are not interested in voting for either Trump or Biden. So the entire electoral pool has changed. And if it continues in this direction, you have to start to consider Democrats winning the Senate and Democrats winning the House. The actual people who are participating, she's got intensity now. She's got an intensity advantage. She's got a demographic advantage. And I haven't seen anything like this happen in 30 days in my lifetime.
A little bit more of the Frank Luntz Wilder's time, Rich. Play it for the people.
The people who are undecided have all collapsed towards Harris. The people who are weak Trump have all collapsed towards undecided. It's his broad shift. I'm trying to do a focus group tonight with undecided voters under the age of 27 for a major news outlet. And I can't recruit young women to this because they don't exist as undecided voters. And you shift the demographics and you shift the entire outcome. There are issues, attributes, and the conditions of the country. The issues and conditions favor Donald Trump. He should be winning this election. But the attributes are so much in Harris's favor that he's not. That the very attributes that Trump offers, and the best example, you did the story on the UAW, why is Donald Trump saying publicly, I want to fire the same people that he's getting now, still getting, union members? It's ridiculous. It's as though he's lost control. And I know that there are billionaires who watch this show who are spending a lot of money on Donald Trump, and they don't understand why he's committing political suicide.
Oh.
And more importantly, he's self-imploding with their money. That's what's really going to bother them. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. You can join us, 844-967-2789.
The American dream is dead.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
And we're back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Going to go over the lines and the text. Same number, 844-967-2789.
Let's go. Who's first, Tom? Let's get Susan on a car phone. Susan, welcome. What do you got for us?
Well, actually, what would happen if Utah went blue? My sister lives in Utah, and there was an article in the paper about how a lot of the people in the LDS church are not happy with Trump, and they are actually encouraging folks to vote for Harris, which would be really historical because Utah is very blue. So I think if Utah turned blue, there might be a huge turnout in other such states also.
Mormons for Harris.
I sent the article. Pardon?
I said Mormons for Harris.
Yeah, there are. They are coming out, and I can send you the article when I get home. I just send it to your text line, or where should I send
sure,
it?
Sure, absolutely.
It's an interesting read. So, so that would be, to me, that would be amazing because, you know, Romney has, you know, run that state for a long time, and the LDS church is very supportive of Romney, but they're not happy with Trump, and there are people who are out to change that, and they have people coming out asking folks to vote for Harris. So that's a huge thing. because the LDS Church actually runs the state of Utah. So, because they don't make any changes unless the LDS Church says it's okay. So,
well, dare to dream, yep. Susan. That would be, if Utah is in play, right. we've got a Noah-like blue flood, I would suspect. I cannot imagine they could overcome the very red voting demographics of Utah. I haven't pulled up the precise, but voting trends in Utah are pretty damn red. We'll verify that. But, yeah, Utah has been a pretty staunch Republican state historically. Last time Utah went blue was 1964. So that would be a shift in the electorate.
Certainly. Wow. I believe it when I see it.
967-2789. I can tell you, I do think perhaps Florida is in play, and I do think that North Carolina is in play. Those states could have changed. The demographics are such, and the numbers are such, that would be less of a pipe dream. But Utah, that'd take a lot of Mormons, a lot of magic underwear, and I believe, though, it could happen. 844-967-2789. Cindy from Appletown. How you doing, Cindy?
Hey, Cindy.
Hello. I'm good, thanks. And I think the American dream is dead. And I blame that on the big corporations and the rich people who just can't seem to make enough money and get enough money out of, you know, milking the blood out of the stone. So to that extent, I do agree there is some of that because the rich people just can't seem to make enough money.
Well, it certainly
they
diminishes
give it all away for just a little more, right, Cindy?
It certainly diminishes the opportunity when a singular human being like Elon Musk can amass $250 billion worth of wealth? I mean, that's bigger than nation's gross domestic product, Cindy.
Yep.
Cindy, appreciate your contribution. I'm not sure that I'm so pessimistic about the American dream. I live the American dream, Dom, in some way, shape, or form, and I hope to extend that to the next generation. I hope my kids do better than I did. But, you know, quite frankly, as awarded the state of Wisconsin as a kid who was in foster care, as a kid who, you know, thought he was orphaned at 12, I mean, opportunities were presented to me, and the great equalizer is education. But this nation doesn't owe you anything, per se, except an opportunity. And, you know, some are given opportunities and some succeed and some get knocked down in life and get back up and try again. And if you keep getting up, that is success. That is the American dream. The only promise is the journey, not the destination. 844-967-2789.
Sounds like an Aerosmith song, man. And is the American dream the same for everybody? You know, does everyone have the same definition?
Well, of course not.
Quote, unquote,
of course
the
not.
American dream. Right, it's subjective.
But once upon a time, there was sort of a hallmark Norman Rockwell American dream. You know, it's 2.5 kids, a white picket fence, a little house, and a job that allowed you to pay the bills. And I think for a lot of people,
that
American
job,
dream
that include,
has been diminished.
Does that include women working that job? You know, where were the black people and the Hispanic people in this American dream portion? Or all the immigrants, you know, quote unquote legal or illegal?
I don't know why you would think that those that came here from some other country would somehow, I would think they lift up the very personification of the American dream as someone that comes here with nothing, seeking more for themselves. The immigrant is the personification of the American dream, especially when they succeed. When they provide for their kids, the next generation, something more than they had for themselves.
The culture have to be there. Women, come on, man. Women couldn't get a credit card till the 70s, right? You know, black and
white. So is the American experience getting better or worse?
Get married. Well, I get it, but I think it's getting better. Some of those megas think it's getting worse.
Well, I get it, Dom, but the American dream has generally been acknowledged to be people who can give more success to the next generation than they experienced. Is there opportunity? Is there greater opportunity in America than any other country in the world, as far as I can tell? Yeah, still. still to this day. The American Dream is alive and well and kicking right here on the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, an independent production of Devil Radio. We're entrepreneurial right now, Dom. We're living the American Dream. I just thought it would involve getting paid more.
I really love the American Dream part. God, I wish it paid better.
Well, so far it pays well enough to keep the lights on. So, you know, that's a start point. The kids are in college. So, you know, we're all surviving in some way, shape, or form. And I know there are people struggling in this world. I absolutely know it. But you only fail when you fail to get your ass up and dust yourself off and try again. And I know it's hard, man. My life's been hard. Everybody's life is hard. But the American dream is you make it easier for your kids. And then they don't respect you. They don't talk to you.
But they want your money.
And the car keys, of course.
Yeah.
Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Living the American dream right here on the radio.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Cleaning the decks on a Thursday afternoon because Dom and Crudy recharging the batteries tomorrow. Off to the DNC all next week. Live shows 4 to 6. And then the Devil's Advocates will bring you the best damn anchored coverage from the DNC you ever heard. 7 to close each and every night. So please give us a listen all next week. Check your local listings, but we'll be on 4 to 6, take a little dinner break, and then back at 7 to bring you all the important speeches all week long. DNC in Chicago, I'm very excited. Also, Kamala Harris is coming to Milwaukee on Tuesday. I would encourage you to attend. And then I would also like to just say, Dom, the American dream is alive and kicking. And the American dream is your outlook on the future of this country, I would say, in some way, shape, or form. And certainly there have been reasons to be pessimistic. Donald Trump's a great one. But I'm telling you, man, we are going to overcome this bastard. We as a nation look forward to governance of the willing. You know what I mean? It'd be great to have a president that represented all of us. But ultimately, here's what I believe. I believe the American dream is alive and well, and it lives in the joyous campaign of Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. And I think if we believe, and I do believe, I believe in a better future for this country. I believe it can get better. I believe we can overcome. But I don't think this nation's ever going to be fair. I don't think the fairer is promised to you by the American dream. Just opportunity. It ain't going to be fair. Some people are going to get screwed. I met a few of them. I've been one of those guys once or twice. But again, then the question is, how do you react? Do you get up? Do you shake it off? I say yes. We Americans got up, we shook it off, and we're going to elect Kamala Harris, and it's going to get better around here. I feel it. I feel it in my soul. And I believe I have a soul, Don. That's why I'm an optimist. And you don't believe you have one. And that's why I perceive you as a pessimist.
Just consider me a realist, man. We got to have something to strive for. Certainly opportunity is not equal, right? I mean, we can acknowledge that. I appreciate your optimism, Crudy, but living through Trump and the pandemic and all those things, it was not the best of us. We are not experiencing right now the best of this country. We got the guy Trump on television right now saying murderers and drug dealers are mostly people that are coming in. What are you doing on the first day to make things better for the American people? We're going to drill, baby, drill, or we're going to close the border. That's his answer. I just think
that's mass deportations. Don't forget about the inhumanity of trying to round up, 10, 15, 20 million people and shipping them off. You know, setting aside the tremendous implausibility of that ever happening, the tremendous suck of actual labor out of the workforce. We need the workers. It's completely anathema to the American dream, what is being proposed by Donald Trump, Dom?
844-967-2789. Let's get back to some of our great callers. Tom, our pal from Madison. Welcome, Tom. What do you got for us?
Tom, is the American dream alive or dead, sir?
The American dream is changing. That's what it is. Those Norman Rockwell people with their white picket fences have their dream, but now they're really scared that there are brown people and black people and gay people who want a house like that too, and it's freaking them out. I think that's where a lot of the fear is. But, you know, I just came back from Tulsa. I was doing the Joe Hill play at the Woody Guthrie Center, so I drove through Missouri and Oklahoma, and I think I saw a total of 2 Trump signs. It was amazing.
Wow.
I saw dozens and dozens of, you know, this Republican for Senate, this Republican for Sheriff, this Republican for State Assembly. And right now I'm driving towards Milwaukee. I see 1 Hovde sign and not a single Trump sign. And that wasn't happening 3 years ago. I think it's pretty amazing.
You got to get out on some of the interstate highways, Tom, because there's plenty of Trump signs out in the state. I've been driving the roads. But I appreciate that it doesn't have that same feel. There's not the same painting the side of the barn with the Trump. There was a lot of that in the 2016 and 2020 cycle, Tom. And I don't disagree with you, but I still see the rabid Trump MAGA fans, you know, because they got like 10 flagpoles up in front of their house, and they usually got
10
3
poles,
Trumps
and
one
and
American
a few
flag.
AR-15s, but they only get 1 vote. 844-967-2789. Bob from Madison, you're next. Welcome, Bob. What do you got for us?
Hey, Bob.
Yeah, Trump's Biden this morning called Trump Donald Dump, which I thought, you know, 10 infrastructure week programs, and he never got anything done. But Biden finally got infrastructure done. And it's a good thing, because every time Trump opens his mouth, it demonstrates the need for better wastewater treatment facilities.
Bob, do you think the American dream is alive or is it dead?
I think the American dream has been sidelined somewhat ever since Reagan brought down the top tax rate and the 1% took off and left the rest of us behind. And I do statistical research, and when you do the 5 quantum 20 percentiles and then the 5% and the 1%, and you look at that research, it turns out that they've left 99% of us behind. Mm-hmm. Even those in the bottom half of the top 5% have shown no progress since 1979.
Well, you're not rich enough, Bob. Got to be richer.
Well, that's the whole idea. You know, you got to be bought off by the billionaires, by the oil companies. You know, isn't that bribery when he offers to drill for $1 billion cash? It seems like that's bribery and all that. But it really is a sad thing that ever since they crushed the unions in the 80s and drop the top tax rate, you know, the billionaires have had a field day, and especially since 2010 with Citizens United, now they really own the country. And look at Harlan Crow behind Thomas. He goes back to the early 80s when Roberts was working for the Reagan administration. So you've got a long chain of events, and the guy who wrote the book, Who Killed the American Dream, dates it back to the Supreme Court justice in the 70s who said that we've got to organize against all these civil rights. And
was that Rehnquist?
Peace types.
Was that Rehnquist? I thought Rehnquist controlled that court for a good long time.
No, that's not Rehnquist. That's Powell. Yeah, Powell. Powell did that in about 1971.
Well, now
he's got a famous quote.
You're getting a little ahead of my times, Bob, but I've been paying attention since like Sandra Day O'Connor and Rehnquist. But before that, I was a little too junior to be paying attention. And kind of like Donald Trump, I never picked up a history book.
They're so heavy.
Too many words.
9672789. Let's get Mark in from the sack. Welcome, Mark. What do you got for us?
Mark, may I indulge my question first, which is the American dream, certainly. Is the American dream alive or dead to your opinion, Mark?
It's alive and well, because you got me thinking about the 1964 Bob Dylan song that came out when I was six years old, that they went through that the times are changing, they've always been changing, and that how it ends up, the line it has drawn, the curse it has cast, the slowest now later will later be last, as the present now will later be past, the order is rapidly fading. And the first one now will later be last, because the times, they are changing. And the times are, they are changing, because we have a black woman that is going to be the next president of the United States, and that's going to drive Trump nuts. His head is just going to explode.
Oh, I absolutely agree with that sentiment, Mark. And I also agree that the American dream is alive and well. And, of course, we evolve as a nation. But I'd like to think, after some faltering steps, maybe, you know, a few steps backwards, I'd like to think we're back on the right direction. I feel it, man. I feel an optimism I didn't even feel a month ago. But now I feel it, Mark. I feel optimistic about the future for my kids, for the sake of perhaps future Crudy grandkids.
Yeah, there was a song during the uprising there in the Capitol, something about they're knocking us one step back, but we got to take two steps forward, and that we have to just confront these right-wing nitwits wherever we can.
Mark, I appreciate your contribution. Thanks for listening. I actually think you might be confusing that with the Paula Abdul song. One step forward, two steps back.
Two steps back, yeah. Two steps forward, one step back. At least you get some steps. Thank you for the call, Mark, 844-967-2789. But certainly if it's the idea that every citizen should have equal opportunity to, you know, achieve success and prosperity through hard work, determination, initiative. I mean, you know, there's a lot of poor people that work really, 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 really hard. And if you have, for instance, a bunch of white men trying to dictate whether or not you're going to have a forced government birthing, that can certainly impact what your dreams and your goals may be. So, you know, I think it's relative. I think it's an aspiration, certainly. I mean, that's what this country is, to strive for. And we never meet it. You can never possibly meet the expectation. But you can try. You can articulate it. You can identify where we've fallen, where we failed, acknowledge it, and try to do better in the future. But it's an ideal. It is literally a dream. It's not a thing. And you got to work it every single day.
Hustle. Every day I'm hustling, Dom.
Every day I'm hustling.
Jake from Milwaukee said, Hudby's dream is to give Wisconsin a mustache ride. My pal Brian from Madison says, the American dream is different because America operates in two different worlds. People of color are never going to break through the white wall of success. Conservatives, the poorest white man, still thinks he's better than a billionaire like Michael Jordan. All I'm hearing from you is as a black man, all I'm hearing is you're acknowledging, but merely saying, oh, look at you and good for you for living our dream. It's good-hearted, but a little condescending. Black businesses need to see you and CJ walk through their doors and put those white dollars. He acknowledges the voice to text didn't completely capture everything he's trying to express here. A little wordy paraphrase. It still love the show. A little less of you today, though. Laugh out loud. Well, kiss my ass, Brian. I love you too, man. Lisa Joe says, but not everybody has the resources, nor the mental, physical, and or emotional ability to withstand being knocked down and having to rebuild. Also true. We're not all equally equipped in life. Jeff from Shorewood, Crudy, what does getting screwed mean? Does it mean that if you're a multimillionaire, you got to pay a little more tax? Or does it mean that you can't get health insurance? Or does it mean that if you make minimum wage, you will see your ability to pay bills get more difficult? Well, I know when my kid had a pre-existing condition before there was Obamacare, getting screwed meant he was uninsurable. That's what it meant to my family. I mean, we've all had our experience, our run-in with something that seems entirely inequitable in our current existence. I'm not saying my life hasn't been easier. I am white. I went to college. But it wasn't easy. And I certainly made my share of mistakes along the way. And perhaps the greatest of all was partnering with you, Dom. God, man, why didn't we do something that made money? We could have been rich. Could have, like, invested in Tesla or plastics. Done something.
Should have invested in plastics in the 70s. 844-967-2789.
Like credit cards?
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open, talk or text. It's the same number, 844-967-2789.
Dom, welcome to the listeners on the Civic Media Brewers affiliates. Brewers, a late comeback victory against the Dodgers today. 1-6-4. Got 3 in the bottom of the 8th. I didn't see the final game details, but last time I checked, Brewers were down 4-3. So I'm excited about that outcome.
They split that series then. Well done, Brewers.
Well, they lost 2, and then they came back and they won 2. And now the Brew Crew are teetering on the brink of 70 victories for the season. Still a lot of games left. 69-52, 17 over 500. That's a big number. If they just play 500 ball from here to the end of the season, they're going to have over 90 wins.
Wow. Go Brewers.
Go Brewers. 844. No wonder why our audience, the American dream is the Brewers making it all the way to the World Series. 844-967-2789. The American dream for Detroit people is just winning more than 8 football games in a season.
Oh, come on. They won the division last year.
Easy for you to say.
And they're favored to win again this year. So, you know, watch yourself, son.
We'll see what prognosticators know. I know a few that make some bad calls. Yeah. I'm going back to the text line because people have put some thoughtful texts out there. Here's one from the 920. I think the American dream is having more and more added to the list all the time. And the ability to achieve the dream is getting harder, partly because of those additions, partly because of the supply side economics. My idea of the dream is a modest house, a family of choice, can pay the bills, put the kids through college, save for retirement, and take a vacation each year. Yes, as long as it's not next week, during DNC week, we're going to need you to listen to Devil's Advocates each and every day. Chuckster from Racine says, and this is a little more depressing. Chuck, not living the American dream today, more of a early grievance. Last Saturday, passed through west of I-94 Racine County for the Union Grove Car Show with my 73 Mustang. Well, that part, you're living the dream in that regard. It was nothing but Trump signs out there. Uh-oh. And then he says, sad Civic Media dropped WRJN broadcast signal with progressive talk and got suckered by well-organized GOP cancel culture saying we want oldies music back. I'm not sure if that's what influenced Civic Media. I think it was perhaps the overlapping signals of WAUK 540 AM and WRJN. But, you know, I don't make those choices. I know you can find your Packers, your Brewers, your Badgers, and your Bucks right there on WRJN 1400 AM out of Racine, Kenosha. Got a couple of FMs down there for you. Come on, man. Don't be all sad like that. That's the best sports stick in the state of Wisconsin, according to me. But I'm right. I know it is. Bryant from Madison. Kiss what? Your ass? Tell Dom to stand up and give you a straight left to the Menards, let's just say, for me. I don't operate that low. Not that there's anything wrong with it.
Come on, man.
You is don't have to joke? Read this. I love the show and the network.
I just got to be the victim of a short joke here, man.
Not that there's anything wrong with it.
Yeah.
You don't have to read this. I love the show and the network. And I'm lazy, I guess, because I don't edit voice to text. Yes. Lazy man, Bryant, not editing your voice to text. Sometimes I hardly know what you're saying. Chuckster also responding on the text line in real time. Chuckster says, if you have 3 WRJN signals and 2 of them FM, it's not how it works. I wish what you're proposing, Chuck, could be done, but I know the FCC licensing process very, very well. Those are all tethered stations. They will all play the same signal, both the FMs and the AM, and apparently it's going to be
a requirement of getting the
of
FM,
the
right?
specific licensing yeah. agreement for WRJN. That is how it works in the radio industry. The FCC determines whether or not you can play, and you cannot play alternative on either of those signals. I don't know why we're talking about this. My American dream would be the FCC lets you play any damn thing you want profanely on the radio. Dom, what's with all this not letting me swear on the radio stuff?
I know. I mean, come on. Like
my American dream.
Discourse, we should be civil. I mean, but we see what happened when and I get it. I get it now, man. I always thought, man, all these people are so stiff and they're so concerned about all these stupid things. So what? So what? Then you got a guy like Trump who just blows the whole thing up, and he inspires, you know, Charlottesville, let's say. You know, good people on both sides, inspires people to crawl out from under rocks and think that this kind of behavior is acceptable. And hell, it should be encouraged for a guy like Donald Trump. He was speaking today. They're doing some fact checks on it. A little bit here I want to throw out to you from the New York Times. Trump called Harris a communist. Before taking any questions, he spent roughly 45 minutes delivering a diatribe barely distinguishable from a rally speech, deviated from prepared remarks about price increases and airing grievances about his legal troubles. I think I'm entitled to personal attacks, he told a reporter who asked him about his constant insults of Harris, arguing that she was also personally attacking him. I know you are, but what am I? Has Harris personally attacked Donald Trump? Has she called him fat? She called him stupid, old? Has she called him made any personal attacks? I'd like to know. I haven't heard
Well,
any.
She did point out his legal status as a 34-time convicted felon. That's going to feel a little personal to Trump, I suspect.
Well, it's a legal status. Okay.
She's getting very personal. It's very personal.
Do you want a felon to be president? No, you don't.
Dom, the American dream is alive and well, I'm convinced. Come back with us. Joe Biden on the stump with Kamala Harris today, and he took a pot shot at Trump and got a little personal with him. Did Joe Biden get personal? Yes, he did. We'll play it for you next.